This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Let us pray. Our Father, we lift up our heart unto Thee at this hour, coming in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, pleading His precious blood for cleansing, and for the work of Thy Spirit to open our hearts, and to send Thy Word home in power and much assurance to our hearts. Oh, give us ears to hear and eyes to see with, and deal personally and effectively with us by Thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Just a wayward lad. Thank you.
say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our Lord continues to bless, to lead, and to guide, and for this we give Him praise and to give Him glory. Our prayers are with you. We meet every morning praying and crying unto God to take His Word home to our hearts and to use these radio broadcasts for His glory. We'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. I would like to continue the messages which the Lord has laid upon our heart to give at this time. We've been on the messages, decision for Christ, what does it mean? We've been going through the New Testament, looking at the warnings of God's Word concerning this profession, whether it be true or whether it be false. I would that you would bear with me one more time in searching out the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 to see why the stony ground hearers never were saved, why they never got to Christ and never knew Him in that living, loving, and lasting union of love. In Matthew 13, 20 and 21, our Lord gives us the interpretation of the parable of the sower concerning the stony ground hearers. And this is what He said. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. This is the person who, when he hears the word preached, immediately makes a decision, believes the four spiritual laws, and accepts Christ as his personal Savior. There seems to be joy for a while, but because there is no depth of soil, the plant that comes up soon dies, and there is no harvest. You ask why? Because the poor soul never was shown his desperate need of Christ as his only acceptance before God. And after our message last week, I do know that you like to ask the questions, Pastor, where did the defect lie in this individual's decision or profession? Why didn't he or she close in with Christ in true saving faith? Or to put it more personal, why has the vast majority of professing Christians today missed the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't they know Him whom to know is life eternal? Why don't they live in fellowship with Him and know Him as Lord of their lives? Why do they rest in a mere head knowledge or historical knowledge of Him? Why have they not entered into the glorious relationship of a personal walk with Him day by day? Why is not Christ their life, their joy, their peace, their hope, their living hidden Lord? Why has no living change been wrought in them so they know, their friends know, and the world knows that they are new creatures in Christ? Let us see if we can answer these questions with four answers. Will you listen? First, it is because of an unbroken heart. There has been no hammer work of the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit. There has been no plowing of the heart to break up the heart of pride, to lay it bare before God. There has been no plowing of the heart to break up the heart of selfishness, to cause you to hate self, to loathe yourself in your own eyes, and to have confidence only in the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. There has been no plowing of the heart to break up the heart of covetousness, to let you see that God requires truth in the inward parts, and that there is nothing in you but sin. As Brother Paul said in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known the lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. And then all manner of evil sprang up in me, said, as I saw the covetousness of my heart. My friend, will you listen? I know this is not popular preaching, but my dear friend, this is God's Word. The reason the stony ground hearer never made it to Christ is because his heart was never plowed or opened up to let him see his sinful condition before God. My friend, this is necessary before we can say we are saved. The Holy Spirit must convince us of sin. The heart must be broken, for God's Word says a broken and a contrite spirit He will not despise. You see, this is the only sacrifice that God will accept, and Brother David brings it out so very forcibly in Psalm 51:17 in these words, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. You see, my dear friend, there must be the work of the Holy Spirit by which the natural rock of nature shall be turned into the good soil of grace, or else all the sowing in the world will never produce a harvest. And I said the first thing, the first answer I would get in showing why these stony ground hearers were not saved, and wherein their profession was defective, it is because of an unbroken heart. And the hammer of the Word and of the Holy Spirit must turn that natural rock of nature into the good soil of grace. The heart must be broken, or else all the sowing in the world shall never produce a harvest. I hear someone saying, Preacher, you're hard. But my dear friend, I'm no harder than God's Word. And I do wish that you knew my heart, how I cry over you and weep over you, and my soul's been grieved these past weeks as never before, as I see men and women turning back to hell, turning back to sin, and yet saying they're saved, when there's never been any work of the Spirit in their heart. As I said, I'm no harder than God's Word. For we are taught in Matthew 3 that John Baptist's ministry must precede Christ's ministry. There must be a thundering forth of the call to repentance before there can be a true laying hold of Christ in salvation. When they began to come to John Baptist preaching there at the River Jordan, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits suitable for repentance. And also, the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Brother, that's God's Word. John Baptist's ministry of repentance must always precede the laying hold of Christ as the chief cornerstone in our hearts. The axe must be laid under the root of the tree, not the branches, but the root. You see, most professors stop with just getting just the cutting off of a few branches, and the root of sin is never touched. The heart is never laid bare and exposed to see the depths of sin. The sword never has pierced to divide and asunder so that your cherished sins are exposed. Your love of self and your love of the world and your love of money and your love of pleasure and the love of your own way and your love of things. These are never dealt with. These are just passed over in the day in which we're living. You see, the Holy Spirit must come and give the death blow to all that you are or hope to be in this world. Yes, the taproot of sin must come under the axe of God's Word. And that's the reason my preaching sounds hard, because repentance must precede the laying hold of Christ. But I'm no harder than God's Word. John Baptist preached it, and his ministry preceded the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you listen to me? The chief defect of the stony ground hearer is that you have never seen your heart so as to mourn and sorrow over sin as it is before God. You want to be healed before you are wounded. You want to be clothed before you are stripped. You want to be filled before you are emptied. You want to be made alive before you are slain. In other words, you want to escape the painful discovery that you are a helpless, hopeless, hell-deserving sinner before God. You want to be known as a good man or a good woman. You do not want to be known as a hell-deserving sinner. And that's why so many individuals go to hell right there. Even sitting under my ministry, you want to be healed before you are wounded. You want to be clothed before you are stripped. You want to be filled before you are emptied. You want to be made alive before you are slain. For you see, the Holy Spirit, when He works in the soul, He wounds before He heals. He strips before He clothes. He has to strip you of your self-righteousness before you are ever clothed with the righteousness of Christ. He must empty before you are filled. You must be emptied of self before you can be filled with the Lord Jesus and the Lord of glory. You must be slain by the Word of God before you can be made alive. And I know where you are because I was there one day. You want to be known as a good man or a good woman. You don't want to be known as a hell-deserving sinner. But I got news for you. If ever you and Christ come together and embrace in true saving faith, you will admit before God you're a sinner. Because you see, Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And the reason the stony ground hearer didn't get to Christ, he never knew he was without strength. I'll tell you something else. The Lord keeps us there under Holy Spirit conviction the remaining days of our life. We know Christ. We walk in the preciousness and the glory of Him. But the Holy Spirit constantly lets us know that we're still nothing but hell-deserving sinners. The second defect of the stony ground hearer is the want of depth. You see, to this individual, there is nothing but surface religion, nothing but emotions, nothing but feeling. It's all of the flesh. It's no depth of soil. Everything is superficial. Listen to what Isaiah 46:8 tells us. The Lord said to cry. Isaiah said, "Well, what shall I cry?" And He said, "All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Here again is the work of John Baptist. For you see, he was to come in the power and energy of Elijah. He was that voice crying in the wilderness that all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower of it fadeth away, and the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would blow today upon our little godless professions. And that would be depth of soil. You see, our flesh must be withered. And we must stand before God naked, stripped of all our fig leaf clothing of self-righteousness, so that He may give us the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, the defect in the hearing today is that you have never stood before God as a poor, naked, bankrupt sinner, and all of your so-called goodness has faded away like the cut grass of the field, and all your so-called goodness has withered away. This is the reason Christ in His righteousness is not precious to your soul, This is the reason there is no reality of Christ in your life. The reason there is deadness and no life in your soul is that there has been no depth of Holy Spirit conviction to wither your flesh and lay bare your heart before God. Will you hear me? I love your never dying soul. I'm only trying by the grace of God to awaken you before it is everlastingly too late. I love you, my friend, because I was once in your shoes, having profession without life, knowing nothing of the reality of Christ and His life within. How do I know this is your case? Oh, I've talked to hundreds of you in my lifetime who've had decision without Christ, profession without possession, dead while you live, going about seeking to establish your own righteousness and have never submitted yourselves to the righteousness of Christ. My friend, I love you. This is the reason I probe your heart and stir you up, that you may think on your way and not go to hell without warning. Will you hear? Another reason the stony ground here is not saved is because the secret part of your so-called religious life is a failure. I'm not critical, but only a surgeon of souls trying to diagnose your case and set before you the remedy. I repeat, another reason the stony ground here is not saved is because the secret part of your so-called religion is a failure. It has no root. If we went home with you today and could follow you to your secret life, we would find no secret prayer. You do not love it. You do not cherish it. We would find no secret reading of the Word of God, no chewing of it to get the essence and the juice out of it. We would find no vital contact with Christ in private, no communion of the soul in secret with the living God. Oh, my friend, is it not true that the walls of your bedroom or your closet have never heard your crying out to God from the depths of your soul, and yet you say that you're saved? If you would tell the truth, is it not true that your ears have never heard your soul, nor your heart, nor your mouth pouring out love to your precious living Lord and Savior? Is it not true they have never heard you make love to Christ? Is it not true that they have never heard your thanks and praise unto your dear Redeemer because He delivered your never-dying soul from going down to the pit? Is it not true that your walls have never heard your pouring out your sins in confession before God, have never heard your crying for mercy and pleading nothing but the precious blood of Christ for cleansing before God? Is it not true? And you know it is true before God that you hate secret prayer. You hate secret communion with God because you do not know Him and you do not love Him. Oh, you say, I'm saved. Nobody's going to tell me I'm lost, preacher. You're not going to tell me I'm lost. I get answers to my prayers. The tears flow from my eyes. I know God saved me. But you don't love His Word. You don't love secret prayer. You don't love the fellowship of the saints. Your bedroom walls, the car, they're in your truck or in your car, out in the woods. I've never heard you pour out your soul before God in secret confession that you're a hell-deserving sinner. You know nothing about the secret place of prayer, the secret living with God, the soul searching before God, the trying of the reins of your heart. You're strangers to these things. Why? My friend, you're deceived. You're lost. You masquerade as a Christian, but you hate secret prayer and the Word of God because you have no love for it. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take this home today. My friend, my prayer is that you may be in deep earnest about your soul. Do not play at salvation. Pray God to do a sure work in your heart for eternity. Pray to have such a work of grace wrought in you by the Holy Spirit that neither death nor judgment can alarm you. Cry to God that repentance may be cut deep into your soul, making an everlasting impression upon you. Pray that you may have the faith of God's elect. Pray that there will be a giving up of the whole man to the whole Christ for time and for eternity. Pray that God would dig the world out of your heart. He'd give you a love for holiness and a hatred for sin. You would pray that the work of grace would be done in your heart. It would be a grace that God would see, a work that you would see in the work that the world would see. And I'll tell you, if that type of work would be done in your heart, you wouldn't be using the Word of God as a cloak of lasciviousness or the grace of God as a cloak of lasciviousness to hide under. But you'd be praising God for the redemption of your never-dying soul. Oh, pray that Christ will be precious to your own soul by faith, and that He will be your all and in all. My friend, do you know Christ? Have we been describing your heart, the stony ground here? It came up quick. There's been no depth there. There's been nothing but the love of sin and the love of the world. It's never been rooted out of your heart. May the axe be laid to the root of the tree. And God would put in your soul a cry after Christ that you've never known before. And you'd come to love secret prayer and secret communion. And there'd be confession and a brokenness of heart before God. Do you want a copy of these messages? You write for them and ask for them by name. Decision for Christ. What does it mean? And we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.